Isn't that beautiful that grace is enough? It isn't, well, you know, it's 75% grace and then the other 25% is on your effort. It's like, no, it's all grace. And that's why grace is amazing. God does it for us because we cannot. Beautiful story from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, how great is the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah, and how very grave their sin. I must go down and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the men, and these are several men that have been meeting with Abraham and Sarah, so the men turned from there. These are divine, kind of angelic appearances here, so that these men turned from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Then Abraham came near and said, so he's talking with God, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? And the Lord said, if I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will forgive the whole place for their sake. Abraham answered, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. I who am but dust and ashes, suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, I will not destroy it if I find 45 there. Again, Abraham spoke to him, suppose 40 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 40, I will not do it. Then he said, oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak. Suppose 30 are found there. God answered, I will not do it if I find 30. Abram said, well, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. He answered, for the sake of 20, I will not destroy it. Then Abraham said, oh, do not let the Lord be angry if I speak just once more. Suppose 10 are found there. And God answered, for the sake of 10, I will not destroy it. We say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. If that's true, what's going on with this guy? And we could probably come up with a list of possibilities, but in that list, someone will say, I think this guy is wrestling with God. Something is going on in his life, and he is wrestling with God. So let me ask you, have you ever wrestled with God? Have you ever gotten in the ring? Have you ever gone to the mat and wrestled with God? Do you know you can wrestle with God? Now, some people are put off by that whole idea. Okay? Some will say, I don't dare wrestle with God because he might body slam me. Okay? Now, that person is operating out of a false narrative that we might call the fear of God. Now, there is a legitimate fear of God, which is like standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon. It's a combination of absolute awe and wonder, but there's that gnaw in the pit of the stomach that says, be careful because it's the canyon and you're not. Okay? That's a healthy fear of the Lord. This idea here is a distorted, false narrative that we might call the fear of the Lord, that if you look at God wrong, he will smush you like a bug. And some people operate out of that false narrative. Well, I would never wrestle with God because he'll come down with his foot and crush me. Now, others might say, oh, I was taught never to question God. I have heard this one before. I was taught never to question God. And here, too, as well, is a false narrative that we might call a distorted respect. Oh, I respect God so much, I would never question God. It's a distorted respect. It's a false view of who God is and our relationship with God. And then someone else might simply say, well, you know, God isn't interested in my wrestling with him because he's not interested in what I think. And here again is a false view of who God is, that God is simply indifferent. God does not care. It could also be the flip side of that, that I'm indifferent toward God. I could care less about God and what God thinks and what God might be doing in the world. I don't care. I'm indifferent. I want you to know that Abraham rejects all of those false narratives. Abraham wrestled with God because when one is in a relationship with God, there will be times of wrestling. You married? Been married? Have children? Good friends? At some point in the relationship, there is contending. There is wrestling. There's getting into the ring. It's part of being in intimate relationship with one another. It is part of being in an intimate relationship with God. And so Abraham gets in the ring. Then Abraham came near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? I mean, can you picture, you know, I grew up watching a little bit of, back then it was called big time wrestling, you know, and there's the ring with the three strands of cord around the ring, and you see Abraham lifting up one of those strands, and he's stepping into the ring to contend with God. Will you indeed sweep away? Now, what's interesting is it says, then Abraham came near. That's interesting because, here's the rest of it. Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you sweep away the place and not forgive it for the 50 righteous who are in it? What I find interesting is that line, Abraham came near, because right before it, one verse before it, verse 22, it says, Abraham remained standing before the Lord. Abraham remained standing before the Lord, then Abraham came near. Well, what is up with that? You were already near. Why do you have to tell me that you came near? But the writer wants us to pay attention. The Hebrew word for near is used to convey intercession, prayer, intercession, getting into the ring, contending with God in prayer, wrestling with God in prayer is intercession. So wrestling, friends, is a part of what it means to be in relationship with God. It is intercession with God. And in Abraham's intercession, drawing near, getting into the ring, contending with God, we see that Abraham, in a relationship with God, therefore is going to wrestle with God, and in his wrestling, in his contending, in his intercession, he is bold. He's bold before God. Verse 27, let me take it upon myself to speak to the Lord, I who am dust and ashes. You know, he is saying, look, you are God and I am not. You are the Grand Canyon, and I am not. I am small in comparison to your vastness. And yet I will come. Yet I will get in the ring, and I will contend with you. I will wrestle in intercession with you, God, even though I am but dust and ashes. He is bold. Fast forward into the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 4, and the writer puts this delicious invitation, this powerful exhortation before us. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with meekness, with squeaks. No, with what? Boldness. That we might receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You and I, like Abraham and Sarah, are part of the family of God, and God invites us. We are exhorted. God is welcoming this. Enter into the ring. And contend with me, wrestle with me, be in powerfully bold intercession. God welcomes this. Abraham has a relationship with God, therefore he wrestles, and in his wrestling, he's not only bold, but he is persistent. When you read that whole narrative, six times. Boy, if you've been a parent, Gigi and I were out hiking yesterday in Ottawa County, and as we were finishing up that hike, there's a young family there, and there is this, three-year-old boy who's asking the greatest question. It's one word. Why? And the mom would give an explanation, and he would say, why? And then she would give another explanation, and he would say, why? And what did she say? Kind of the final capstone was, just trust me on it. Just trust me on it, kid. Right? You know, and at some point, if you've been a parent, you're like, yeah, oh my gosh, you're wearing me out. I can't come up with more explanations. Abraham comes six times, and he keeps changing the formula each time. But boy, is he persistent. And again, the New Testament, Jesus affirms the call to intercession, and in our bold intercession that we hang on and we do not give up. We are persistent. There's an old expression in Methodist holiness groups where people would say, I am hanging on to the horns of the altar. And I am not letting go. Okay? That's referring to these ancient altars that would have horns on them, and horns were a symbol of power. God, you're powerful, you're mighty. And people would say, I am grabbing onto the power of God and saying, I am not going to let go. I am not going to let go of your might and your power. I am going to stay here on my knees. I am going to intercede. I will wrestle with you. And I will be persistent. Jesus, in Luke's gospel, tells a parable, and the writer of Luke's gospel sets it up with this. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. That's persistence. And so that particular parable is the parable that we know of the persistent widow. It's also called the parable of the unjust judge. You have a widow who has suffered an injustice, and she is going to the legal system within her community. Unfortunately, the person who holds that seat as judge could care less about justice, could care less about her particular need. But she shows up in that courtroom every day. And every day, he says, I don't want to hear your case. And she shows up the next day, and Jesus in the parable says that finally this unjust judge who could care less about her need will give her what she wants just to get rid of her. Now, that's not saying that God doesn't care about our need. God is not the unjust God. But if an unjust judge will finally give you what you need, how much more will the God who loves us give good gifts to those whom he loves? And so he tells a parable about our need to pray always and not to lose heart. Abraham has a relationship with God, therefore he is bold. Therefore he intercedes persistently. And we see as well, as we watch Abraham, as we stand with him, that Abraham has a relationship with God. Therefore, he is wrestling, and in his wrestling, he cares. He cares. Genesis 18, verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing. Shall not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Folks, Abraham cares about God's character. He cares about God's reputation. He says, God, look at you do not want the world to think wrongly about you. You are not the God of injustice. The very core of your being is both love and justice. You are just, and you will not do things. You will not act in a way that is unjust. So far be it from you. Don't we want God to do that which is right? We've all seen things, heard things, experienced things, and we have cried out, that's not the way it should be. That is not right. And we cry out to God that prayer. It's not right. Shall not the God who judges all of the earth do what is right? We long for God to do what is right, and frankly, God longs to do what is right. We look at Jesus. We watch Jesus. We walk with Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. When Jesus saw the crowds, he was moved with compassion, not indifference, not anger, compassion. Luke chapter 19, verse 41, as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. He wept over it. God weeps over Kenosha. God weeps over Portland. God weeps over Chicago. God weeps over Grand Rapids. God weeps over schools. God weeps over communities that are in economic desert zones, food deserts. God weeps over families. God weeps for youth and children. He weeps over the homeless and the marginalized. He weeps over families that are splitting. God is the God who weeps over nations. And so we pray and we wrestle because we care. And we pray, we wrestle, we contend, we intercede because God cares. Friends, this is who Abraham and Sarah are. And it's who we are because we are the people of God. And we are called as the family of God to enter into the ring. And there's mystery behind all of that. It's legit to say, why do I need to contend? And that's beyond the scope of today. But we are invited, we are exhorted, and we are welcomed to enter into that ring, to draw near, and to wrestle with bold intercession, with persistent intercession. I am not giving up. And we are motivated because our hearts care. And we know that our God cares, frankly, even more than I have the capacity to. And so we are invited. We are invited. Would you join me as we pray? And as we pray, music team, come. Praying together, we say, mighty and loving God, it is hard for us to think of wrestling with you, and yet this is what your family does. Help me to hear your call to the wrestling mat of intercession. Give me boldness, persistence, and a caring spirit that prays for justice, for flourishing, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's name, amen.